All right, here we go, guys. Happy Monday. Hope you're having a great start to the week. Everything went well over the weekend. We'll see. Let's see what we're going to get into this week. There's plenty today because you know me. It's the weekend. There was lots of stories. But I cut out probably four or five stories that we were going to cover today. But we're going to get into a bunch of them right now. And we'll start here. We'll start here because yesterday was the anniversary of D-Day, of course, which most patriotic Americans know and are aware that that is what June 6th is every June 6th, every year. And we're grateful. And we should be. And we don't have a generation like that anymore, sadly. I mean, can you imagine millennials storming the beach? Ugh. But like millennials who, for the most part, probably don't even know what D-Day is, you could say that to them and then be like, huh? What is that? Joe Biden said absolutely nothing. Nothing about it. Not a tweet, not a message, not a Facebook post. You name it. Zip. Lord knows what time he called a lid yesterday, but he certainly at no point said anything about D-Day. He's the friggin' president of the United States, allegedly. I know we don't want him to be, but he's the president, and he said nothing. Keeping in mind, this is someone who claims to love the military. I don't see it. I mean, we know he's lying. But doesn't someone like him, like a Democrat, like a politician of any political affiliation for that matter, don't you at least play the game better and feign interest, feign support, keep up the charade? Apparently not. The answer is no. It was unequivocally, no, that's not what we do. We just skip it. So he's not a good guy. Certainly not a leader. But you know who is. And you know who I'm probably going to talk about here, right? Because he's the man. Big D Ron DeSantis. He was at it this weekend again. And he was at it again today, honestly. It was one of the clips that we didn't get in time. But Florida's led the way in almost every category throughout this whole pandemic. Hey, Tony. Hey, so many of you guys coming in and saying hi. But Florida has led the way, right? At least as it pertains to freedom, letting people live their lives, go about their lives. So as it pertains to that, DeSantis has crushed it. And here he was this weekend, speaking of Free Florida, at a jam-packed music festival this weekend here in Florida. Take a listen. Look at that intro, by the way.
My message for other states and other countries, open your schools. Let people live their lives. Don't make them wear masks. We will see you on Labor Day weekend when y'all will do it again.
Friggin' awesome. Love the guy. Killing it. Just killing it. And you know those people? Like, there's some of them who maybe were in that crowd, right? Because it's a big music festival, who probably took a different stance on everything with COVID. But hopefully they saw as he walked out there, which again, just badass intro. But as he walked out there, hopefully they saw and felt deep down inside, you know what? We're pretty darn lucky to be here, to have that be our guy who's fighting for us. Because he doesn't care what affiliation you are. Sure, he'd prefer that you be a conservative. Thank you so much, Elena. I appreciate it. But sure that he would prefer that, but he's just fighting for the free life that people deserve, for the Constitution, for so much. So anyways, I love it. But let's transition now to the opposite of freedom. Because big tech, mainstream media, Democrats, all of them, but they're really all kind of one clump of people, right? But big tech hates freedom. And Twitter, this was an awesome story if you saw this. Twitter was very upset after the entire platform, was banned this weekend in Nigeria. And it went so far to characterize its service as, quote, an essential human right. That's what Twitter said. You can't ban us in Nigeria. The people of Nigeria, this is an essential human right. This comes, mind you, after Twitter deleted a tweet from the Nigerian president that many perceived as a veiled threat. This is from an article against violent separatists in the nation's southeast. Keep in mind, violence has really always kind of been going on there, but there's been an uptick. So they ban, they delete his tweet. He says, you know what? We're just going to outright ban you. It's going to outright ban you. And now Twitter's flipping out, saying this is, you can't do this. This is an essential human right. But who have they done this to? How have they treated others? They don't like it so much when the shoe's on the other foot. Now, granted, are they going to sink because Nigeria doesn't allow Twitter? No, it's not going to really affect things whatsoever. But they got their panties all in a wad over this when they've banned literally the leader of the free world, countless conservatives. So they're getting pissed at him. But who's really the authoritarian here? The Nigerian government, who's saying, hey, there's violence happening down here. Awful stuff. We're talking about it. Twitter deletes that. Or is it Twitter who just literally can't get past themselves? Bans everyone else, blocks everyone else. Then when someone pushes back, someone fights back, they get pushed. They get pissed. I thought it was great. I thought it was great. I think this is great to talk about, ridiculous all at the same time. Bunch of little quick hit stories here at the beginning of the show today before we get into the depth of some of the other stuff that we're going to do. But this was amazing in its own right. When I say amazing too, I mean narcissistic as hell. Absolutely ridiculous. So you had USA Today columnist, used to work at BBC, who boasted about this off-the-record exchange that happened on Air Force Two with Kamala Harris, Cam. So she makes her way back to the press corps, back to the plane. And what's funny is not that she had the off-the-record discussion with them. Presidents, vice presidents, other staff will do that. Like, hey, let's just let our hair down and shoot the shit. Okay, got it. But what is funny is this is what Cam brought. Take a look at this cookie. You can see it in the tweet here. It's a cookie of herself. She brought cookies of herself to talk to the press. Who the hell does that? I mean, it's perfect, right? It's perfect for her, the least likable person in the world. Who, of course, she can't see that, nor will she listen to the reports on her likability that even the Democrats are concerned about. That was one of the issues with the primaries, her performance in the Senate. But she passes out cookies of herself. Wow. That's next level. That's next level. But only she is screwed up enough to do that. And sure, you can say, okay, well, she didn't make them. Someone else made them. She just brought them back. If you're not a douchebag, someone brings you a bunch of cookies that look like you and says, hey, just pass these out to people. You say, no. Like, get me one of the stars and stripes. I know she'd never do that because she hates our country, but get me one with this or that or something else on it. I'm not passing out a cookie of myself. Not happening. It's just gross. All right, we're going to get into Trump's appearance, the RNC event in North Carolina. We're going to talk about CNN a good bit. We're going to talk about Chris Wallace a little bit. A bunch of things that are going to piss you off because that's what I do for you, right? And then we'll finish on a couple other stories. Someone brought up Joe Manchin dropping an elbow from the top rope. He did, at least for now. We'll talk about that. One other quick thing. Before we do, though, please give some love to Mammoth Nation. Mammoth Nation is America's conservative discount club. They are on a mission to keep this country great. Stick to the Constitution, your Second Amendment. They support our law enforcement, our military. It's better than a donation to a PAC or a candidate. They take the guesswork out for you. And in return, you get discounts on all sorts of amazing products and services, stuff that you're already paying for now, whether it's wireless, internet, insurance, medications, all sorts of other products that you need and want. So check it out. It's mammothnation.com. If you become a lifetime member like me, they'll send the American flag, some other goodies just for signing up. Again, it's mammothnation.com. Join the fight. All right. I love that comment, by the way, B, over on Facebook. Or Cookie would say America last. Probably. Probably. All right. So we know the Biden administration's a joke. People can argue about Trump, like Trump, not like Trump, all they want. And they will. Don't worry. That's going to happen. But the real question is, or the real question should be, how is this current guy doing? Or guy and gal combo, since they prefer to be called the Biden-Harris administration. And the answer to anyone who's actually paying attention to that, to him, not thinking about the last president or four presidents ago, but just thinking about now and life and policies and all of that. And someone who's also not just towing the party line would say it's not going well. It's going awful, actually. It's not been a good experiment. Yet the media and the big tech will not let you believe that. It's not in their DNA. It's not in their plan to do that. In fact, just this weekend, Brian Stelter, let me get this clip ready here. But Brian Stelter, who I'm still just amazed that he even has a show or a job anywhere for that matter. The guy's just unimpressive as hell. But he basically asked Jen Psaki, how can we, the media, better serve you, the administration, continue to lie and mislead American people on your behalf?
What might lie ahead? Jen, thanks for coming on Reliable Sources.
My pleasure.
Busy summer ahead, infrastructure, election reform. What does the press get wrong when covering Biden's agenda? When you watch the news, when you read the news, what do you think we get wrong?
Well, look, I think some of our muscles have atrophied a little bit over the last few years, and there isn't a lot of memory, or recent memory, or longer memory on how long it takes to get legislation forward, or how messy the process of negotiating and the process of getting legislation across the finish line can be. So we know, we understand everybody's always looking for a deadline, a timeline, things like that. But at the end of the day, our focus is on getting these bills across the finish line, doing it in a bipartisan way if we can. And we certainly recognize that that can be messy along the process. So I don't know if that's the press getting it wrong. I'll leave you to the critique of that, Brian. But I think sometimes we forget how strange the last 4 years were. And when we return to a place where democracy is working, where we're talking with Democrats and Republicans, where we're trying to get bills and legislation passed, it feels foreign, but this is actually how it's supposed to work.
There are times in your briefings where you seem so comfortable. Then there's times where you seem frustrated by the lines of questions.
I love that question. I love the response from Bravo Tango Shepherd. Brian Stelter actually asked, what do we get wrong? Do you not get wrong? And the media as a whole, I'm not saying that Fox or this group or that group's better either. Like, you guys are all awful. You do a complete disservice to America. I would never, if I was you, ask that question out loud. Ask it internally, yes, and then try and fix things. It's too broken to be fixed, but never ask that question out loud. You get nothing right, but it was basically, how are we doing this wrong? How can we prop you guys up even more than we already are? Should we ask about ice cream more? Do we work in other foods? Like, what do we do here? It's so bad. It's so bad. And look, I think people like Wolf Blitzer, who's at CNN, is bad. I think Anderson Cooper is bad. But at least every now and then, those guys and some others get something right there. It's happened before. It doesn't happen often, but it has happened before. They'll ask a tough question to their own side. You know, Blitzer is very frequently actually pushed back on Nancy Pelosi, which is fair. Like, that's what you should do as a journalist. Obviously, he's got a liberal bent to himself. That's how he is. That's how he votes, all that kind of stuff. And it comes through most of the time. But at least they'll ask some tougher questions sometimes. But Don Lemon is just an ignorant fool. He brings nothing to the table. Chris Cuomo, same thing, but on steroids. Not like saying he's bigger and better than him, but literally is, I think, on steroids. And then Brian Stelter, he's just the one I don't get out of all of them. I understand. Look, none of us like the other ones. The Cuomos, the Don Lemons, the Acostas, who we're going to talk about here in a second, the Nicole Wallace over at MSNBC, some of those people. I get it. But you also understand how they're there or why they're there. And they kind of fit that thing. But I don't get Brian Stelter. Don Lemon, black, gay, checks a lot of boxes. Chris Cuomo, cocky. They think he's good looking. Whatever. He's got a brother who's a high profile governor. Like, you can see how some of these things line up, how they make sense. But Brian Stelter is literally like a zeta male, as I've said before. You skip past beta, which make me sick to my stomach as it is. You skip past all the other letters in the alphabet and you land on zeta. So he's weak. He's not particularly good looking. And I'm not saying I am. I'm just saying he's not. He's not talented, and he's got horrible ratings to boot. So I don't know if, like, Jeff Zucker, the president of CNN, raped the guy, and he's got something on him, and that's why he still has a job. I don't know. But it does blow my mind, and certainly doesn't make sense how he continues on there, despite all that. All right, sticking with CNN. And I'll warn you, this is painful to watch. Not because we disagree with what Jim Acosta is about to say, a lot of it, or all of what he's about to say, but he says a lot of things here. Obviously, we don't like his political take, his views. He's smug. He's arrogant. He's awful. He's got a face. If he was Republican, I'd say this too, but he's got a face and a tone that just says, punch me. He should have that tattooed on his face. But because of his attempts at humor here, that's his tone, his delivery, all of this stuff here to me is just something. Take a listen, then we'll talk about it.
It's almost like Trump wishes he had been on Kimmel. Sad. But not as sad as the man the mob wanted to hang on January 6th, letting Trump off the hook.
You know, President Trump and I have spoken many times since we left office. And I don't know if we'll ever see eye to eye on that day. But I will always be proud of what we accomplished for the American people over the last 4 years.
Don't see eye to eye. Agree to disagree. On an insurrection? What makes this so dangerous is that this could happen again. Just listen to what some Trump supporters are saying.
It's going to be like Myanmar, what's happening in Myanmar. The military is doing their own investigation, and at the right time, they're going to be restoring the republic with Trump as president.
It's Myanmar. Anyway, now Lara Trump said on Fox she doesn't know where this reinstatement stuff is coming from.
As far as I know, there are no plans for Donald Trump to be in the White House in August. Maybe there's something I don't know.
Thank goodness, because there is no mechanism for Trump to get reinstated. That is delusional. If Trump really believes he will be back in the White House this August, he should get help. You are not well, sir. You need to get over this. Same goes for the GOP. It's as if much of the Republican Party is trapped in a Jimmy Buffett tune. Wasting away again in Mar-a-Lagoville. Looking for that next election to assault. Some people claim that there is an orange man to blame, but I know it's my own damn fault. Hey, I was thinking about Bedminster Rhapsody. Oh, Margarita, Margarita, let me go. But I digress. Listen, Trump's life, it's like a country music song. He's lost the House. He's lost the Senate. He's lost the White House, his website. If he had a dog, the dog would leave him too. If you're Trump, why not let America's democratic institutions burn? But perhaps what we are witnessing these days is more of a slow motion coup. Some 14 states have enacted 22 new laws making it harder to vote since Trump lost. The sham audit of the votes continues in Arizona. Some Pennsylvania Republicans flew there to get a closer look. In Texas, the GOP wants to revive their restrictive voting bill. More than 100 scholars said it best this week. Our democracy is fundamentally at stake. History will judge what we do at this moment. Please, no more elections to assault. If it happens again, it will be our own damn fault. Joining me now is Democratic Senator John Hickenlooper.
All right. Sorry. And you're right. 55 debacle. Or Benjamin Button, excuse me. Hey, 55 to you too, though. But Benjamin's saying it's killing my brain cells. It's hard to listen to. Doing the whole Jimmy Buffett thing. Trying to compare it to all this with the dry. Oh, it's awful. And of course, nothing he said actually makes sense there. Pence saying he agrees to disagree, or he doesn't see eye to eye on that day that Acosta said agree to disagree. Yeah, you're allowed to do that. You guys keep peddling this crazy story about what it was. And again, it wasn't good. But you guys have gone to this extreme way over here, and it's absolutely ridiculous and it's reckless with the size of a platform that you have. But then to say our democracy, which we're not, we're a constitutional republic, but our democracy is under attack. I mean, there's just so much to pick apart there. Literally almost nothing he said brought any value to anyone other than people who want to hear that. They're desperate to hear all of that. We're going to talk about what he's talking about, what he's referring to, I should say, with H.R. 1 and the For the People Act towards the end of the show. So we'll get there. And we'll get back to what he brought up with Laura and the reinstatement thing here in a second. But Acosta brings up Trump. So let's get into Trump too, as well, I should say. He spoke in North Carolina this week, and we'll show you the highlights. It's a long clip, but I'm going to just play it and let you continue to chat with each other. Watch the clip. We'll discuss it further. But real quick before we do that, let's hear from UFM. Man, we have a lot of serious problems in the world. Some are outside of our control and some are within. One that you most certainly can control is what's happening south of your border. I am talking about your junk, and UFM Underwear for Men has the solution. Most men's underwear these days do not provide actual support, but rest easy, UFMs do. Their patented pouch system eliminates all skin-on-skin contact in your nether regions and move with your body so you can go from one activity to the next without a second thought. They're great for sports, work, everyday use. There's even certain medical applications as well, all because of their unique drawstring adjustable support pouch that allows you to increase the support to your preference and provides actual support. So support your manhood. Treat yourself right. You deserve it. Go to UFMunderwear.com. Use promo code Drew to save $6. Ladies, you can do the same thing. Head on over there, UFMunderwear.com. Use promo code Drew to save $6. All right, so please do that. Check them out, guys. They support the show. They support this country. They're amazing people, and they're amazing products. So check it out. So like I said, and you likely know, I know there's a ton of Trump supporters here. President Trump spoke this weekend, and he hit on a lot of stuff. He hit on the current administration, Fauci, China, much more. Like I said, this is kind of a longer clip, but take a listen, and then we'll come back and discuss.
Gather tonight, our country is being destroyed before our very own eyes. Crime is exploding. Police departments are being ripped apart and defunded. Can you believe that? Is that good politics? Defund our police? Number one, it's bad for our country, but think of it. Defund our police. You know, I've long said they're vicious. They're violent. They, in many cases, hate our country. And they have bad policy. Now, the bad news from our standpoint, they stick together. They don't have some of the people like we have, where they go on their own and they do what they have to. They stick together. And that's the one thing they have. They stick together, but their policy is so bad. And we're going to have a tremendous 2022, just like we did, frankly, 2020. Think of it. More votes than any sitting president in the history of the United States by far. We had a great election. Bad things happened, but we had a great election. But they're starting to heal. The media, the Democrats, and the so-called experts are now finally admitting what I first said 13 months ago. The evidence demonstrates that the virus originated in a Chinese government lab. Couldn't say it. You couldn't say it. And Dr. Fauci, who I actually got along with, he's a nice guy. He's a great promoter, you know. Not a great doctor, but he's a hell of a promoter. He likes television more than any politician in this room. And they like television. But he's been wrong on almost every issue. And he was wrong on Wuhan and the lab also, very wrong. And we ended the payments. You know, they were started in 2014. And then I can tell you, Mark Meadows came in and I talked to him and he saw what I saw. And I said, what the hell's going on? When did that start? Started in 2014 and we ended it. Our administration ended it. But generally speaking, I went the opposite way of Dr. Fauci, what he was saying. For instance, Fauci said, do not close our borders to China or Europe. But I did it anyway. And months later, he said I made the right decision and saved thousands and thousands of lives. He said it was the right decision, but he did not want to close that border. I said, wait a minute, this tremendous infection over there. We can't let this happen. And we closed it. And I think we saved hundreds of thousands of lives. You remember the number was 2.2 million people in our country were expected to die. Fauci said powerfully at the beginning, no masks. You remember that? No, masks don't work, masks don't. And then he went into masks and then he became a radical masker. I would call it. If you have three, if you have four, get a pair of goggles also, ideally. And let's wear them for another 5 or 6 years. But Fauci has perhaps never been more wrong than when he denied the virus and where it came from. The time has come for America and the world to demand reparations and accountability from the Communist Party of China. We should all declare within one unified voice that China must pay. They must pay. The 2020 presidential election, that election, the 2020 presidential election was by far the most corrupt election in the history of our country. There's never been anything like this. They used COVID and they used the mail-in ballots to steal an election. It was the third world country election like we've never seen before. Look at what took place. I want to congratulate, by the way, Republican state senators in Arizona and other places for their great work that they are doing and exposing this fraud. And maybe, again, I have nothing to do with the Arizona situation. They're doing it, the state senate of Arizona, because there are so many discrepancies, so many problems, and they've heard from so many people about the corruption and what took place. So they're doing it. Let's see what happens. They'll be finished in 3 or 4 weeks. It'll be very interesting. But I'll tell you, and maybe they'll find nothing. Maybe they'll say, oh, it was a wonderful, perfect election. But maybe not. And now they're looking at it in Pennsylvania, and they're looking at it in Georgia, and they're looking at it in many other states, because they're saying, you know, the same things happened to us. That election will go down as the crime of the century, and our country is being destroyed by people who perhaps have no right to destroy it. That election will go down as the crime of the century, and our country is being destroyed by people who perhaps have no right to destroy it. Zuckerberg broke the law, spending millions of dollars. Don't you think he broke the law? Millions of dollars to get out the vote efforts in highly Democrat areas. You know, used to come to the White House, you'd call, oh, could I have dinner with you, sir? Sure. Could I bring my wife? Oh, absolutely. He actually walked into the office one day in front of numerous people. Congratulations, sir. Why? He said, you're number one on Facebook. He said to me, you're number one on Facebook. I said, thank you very much. I appreciate it. We had a nice dinner. The day I was out, he became I guess it's human nature. But we can't let our country be run by that kind of human nature, can we? Zuckerberg, it's another beauty. But they say they may allow me back in 2 years. No, I'm not too interested in that. They may allow me back in 2 years. We got to stop that. We can't let it happen. So unfair. They're shutting down an entire group of people, not just me. They're shutting down the voice of a tremendously powerful, in my opinion, a much more powerful and a much larger group. Because you know what? When the Democrats say defund the police, open borders, your voice. Remember, I am not the one trying to undermine American democracy. I'm the one that's trying to save it. Please remember that.
All right. So lots of stuff going on there. And look, it was mashed together. We mashed together a bunch of clips, but he's so right on a lot of that stuff. And I can see as I'm catching some of the chat here that you guys agree with that, that there's a lot of things that were said and believed by many, not just Trump, a long ways back, but you were attacked if you thought that, if you said that. You, me, Trump, et cetera. We all talked about China leaking the virus, about it being engineered. But you couldn't blame China. That's xenophobic. How dare you? But now that Trump's out of office, everyone's coming around and saying it. Doctors, media. You're hearing stuff about how the State Department blocked any communication or investigations into doing all sorts of stuff. Everything that's coming out, whether it's the emails, again, of the State Department stuff from the intel community, whatever it might be, where you should, as an everyday citizen, or whatever you might be, look at it and say, all right, this is pretty sketchy. Doesn't look good. But they're coming around, and I kind of believe this is how this would work, because this is kind of how they do it. It's like the impeachment efforts, right? We don't actually believe this. We just need to say it. Spin people up, get them talking about it, get our goals achieved, then we'll back off slowly but surely. And then we'll even say the truth in the end and just say, my bad, mea culpa. I mean, everyone he attacked there, Biden, doing a horrible job. Again, not about Trump. It was good to hear Trump speak again. He sounds good, seems like he's got good energy, but it's not about Trump. It's the fact that Biden sucks. He's not a good leader. He's not a leader. Fauci. A disaster. All of this. But then to the audit. He brings up the audit and the reinstatement stuff. And he spun up at a different point in the conversation, something that kind of alluded to the fact that maybe he'd be back sooner than expected. Spun a lot of people up. Oh, you know, he said it. What's he saying? What's he mean? What's he thinking? So let's tackle this again. Let's tackle this again. I know we did it, I don't know, two, three times last week. But look, I don't know where President Trump actually stands on this in his mind, in his heart, on all of that. I don't know what people are telling him, what they're not telling them. But guys, we've got some problems now. Everything that has happened has been problematic getting us to this point. We get that. We've addressed it ad nauseum. We're on the same page here. We're all about America. And I know that even so, there are some people in this audience still who believe that he's going to be reinstated without a shadow of a doubt. And that's fine. You can believe that because this is a free country and you do you. But y'all, let me just tell you, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Doesn't mean he's not going to get involved and play kingmaker in 2022. Doesn't mean he's not going to run again in 2024 or just continue to play kingmaker then. Doesn't mean he's not going to be involved in a huge way. But this whole concept of reinstatement, it's just stop. You've got to stop. And I'm not saying it because I don't want it or I wouldn't like it. It would be amazing. That would be great if that happened. Brandy Marshall, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. That was very kind of you. So it's not that it's not a point or an end goal that I would like to see. And obviously we can't stay this course with the current Biden administration, who between him and the radical left, they're doing everything they can to turn this country into a Marxist shithole. So I'm not saying do nothing. I'm just saying don't get wrapped around the axle and excited about things that aren't going to happen. There's no mechanism in place to, I mean, again, people around him, his legal people have said there are no mechanisms in place for this to actually happen. But let's just play odds maker here for a second. Let's say that there was some system that would allow for that to take place. And let's even pretend that it wasn't like, if this happened and that happened and that happened. Let's pretend that it was crystal clear. Here is the path for that to happen. Do you really think the left and the big machine, the swamp, all of that wouldn't let him win the election is going to let this happen now? Do you think that that's going to fly? No, they're not. They will use every tool in their bag to ensure that doesn't happen. Even if certain people on their side lose jobs, positions, get mud on their face, whatever the case might be, they will do anything and everything to stop it. And you know what Republicans will do? I'm talking elected officials, people in position, positions of authority and power. They'll do nothing like they always do. Because we as a party, again, I'm not speaking to you in the audience, maybe, but we as a party and our elected officials play the game horribly. You could argue we almost don't play it at all. We get our ass kicked. Yes. Do they cheat? Absolutely. 100% they do. Do they take advantage of people? Yes. 100%. Do they manipulate? Yes. Are they vile, awful creatures? A lot of them. Yes. But do they play the game better than us? Yeah. They do. And because of that, and because of our ineffectiveness against that, it's why we're on this path for divorce or war. We've got to get some balls. We've got to get some balls and do a better job. And what we have to do right now is focus on 2022 and 2024 and election reform. Keep doing the audits. They're going to push back hard against that. Keep doing those. Work on all these state bills that are getting passed, by the way. The Democrats are flipping out about it, saying all sorts of things about how it's racist and this, that. It's not racist at all. None of the legislation that's getting put forward in these states is even remotely racist. It's, in fact, completely logical, and every state should have it. So we need to fix that and focus on 2022, 2024. Get our house cleaned up in the GOP. Because looking back is only going to guarantee that we lose again. They're moving forward. They've got years and years ahead planned. We're going to do this awful thing, that awful thing. And if they do this, or they counter this, or they bring this up, here's plan whatever, 22. Here's plan 46B, whatever. I mean, that's how they play the game. They're a maniacal, devious group of people. But the reason they get away with it is because we don't have the backbone. All right, moving on, but kind of staying in the same zip code. Chris Wallace, who's a total douche, God, he's awful, lost his cool again, discussing kind of all of this stuff with Corey Lewandowski. Here's a look at the clip. Take a listen.
That the 2020 election was stolen, and according to a number of reports from across the political spectrum, various news outlets from the New York Times to the National Review, he has told people around him recently that he believes he will be reinstated as president by August. Corey, can you please explain to our viewers under what provision of law or the Constitution President Trump can be reinstated as president?
Sure, Chris. And I can tell you, I've spoken to the president dozens, if not more than 100 times since he has left the White House. And the president and I have never had that conversation about him being reinstated. So I can't specifically comment on what he has said to other individuals, because it hasn't been a conversation I've had with him. And I know of no provision under the Constitution that allows that to occur, nor do I know of any provision under the Constitution that allows an individual who lost an election to come back in if a recount is dubbed inaccurate. So look, there are election integrity matters that we need to deal with. There's no question about that. And specifically, when I was in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, after the election results, we notified the media of at least one dead person who voted. It is unequivocal. But the response from the media was, well, that person was a Trump supporter. Chris, we have to have election integrity in this process.
Corey, you keep blaming this on the media. The fact of the matter is this went to more than 60 different court cases, and you were beaten in every one. The Supreme Court refused to even hear the Trump challenges. So please don't blame this on the media. You had your day, Chris, in court, and you lost.
But Chris, what I'm saying that the media's obligation and responsibility should be is making sure that we have a fair and honest account of what the election results were. Look, I have provided specific examples of the dead person who voted in Allegheny County.
What about the courts, including the Supreme Court that has a 6-3 conservative majority? They threw you out of court.
Chris, it's not the court's decision or obligation to ensure that dead people aren't voting. That's a legislative responsibility. And look, Chris, in my hometown of Windham, New Hampshire, and you know this, and the listeners know this, we had voting irregularities from what the voting machines reported on Election Day to what the actual count was. And the reason we know that is because the Democrat state representative who lost that election in my hometown was entitled to a recount. That recount transpired on three separate occasions. It was hand done. And the voting tallies from election night showed that the Republican representative was shorted approximately 300 votes based on what the machine said, as opposed to what the recount said. Now, in the state of New Hampshire, we passed a bill. The governor signed it, and a full forensic audit is underway to determine what irregularities or potential malfeasance occurred in that election. But we should, as the greatest republic in the history of the country, of the world, have a right to know what the final election tally was for the most important job in the world.
Well, let's talk about that final election.
All right. So great point, right? We should be able to know what's going on. And he attacks the media and hits on so many things. But Chris dives into, you know, he's trying to protect the media, of course, because he's a part of them. Longtime Democrat journalist. But he discusses the court cases, many of which were not really heard, which is a huge deal. And it's a huge distinguishing factor. It's like how they talk about mail-in ballots, but they don't clarify that there's a difference between absentee ballots that require an ID and universal mail-in ballots. Not just mail-in ballots. Let's just talk about that. But they do the same thing with the court cases. And it's a convenient talking point for them in the media, who did not want Trump to win and did everything they could to sway Americans away from him. Sure, some people were not going to like him. That's whatever. That's politics. That's life. But again, the cases were not all thrown out on merit. Many were not even heard. Some had to do with standing. Some it was their role, as Corey was talking about there. Some it's not their role to do it. So a lot of them were not heard, not because they didn't have merit, value, evidence, facts, any of that stuff. They just were not heard on a bunch of administrative BS. But the court of public opinion is so critical and damn strong in this strange day and age that we're living in that you don't need facts. You don't need that. You just need power, money, influence. All the channels like they have. But literally, you saw the Newsweek article. We've talked about it several times about how they built up this campaign, got corporate America, got all the media together to push this narrative. Everyone stay on point and we'll accomplish our goal. They said it. It was not me saying it. It was not a conservative saying it. It was people from within who said this was our plan and here's how we did it. And they didn't get into the most nefarious stuff. They just got onto the messaging. But the media, man, I'm telling you, they are so damn divisive. So damn divisive. And have perpetuated almost every problem we've got in the country right now. A lot of problems we don't have in the country, but they continue to perpetuate anyways and make into something that they're not. They're the worst. Imagine how this would be. Imagine how life would be. And we used to say, like, if we could go back to how it used to be, it really wasn't this way. We just didn't pay as much attention, but it's not as bad as it was now. But imagine if they just reported the news. If they talked about concerns people had with the election. Well, this is what people are talking about. Let's get into this, rather than just saying, nope, shut up. Shut up. We don't value your opinion. You have to believe what we think. Anything else will be seen as hostile, and we'll put you on a list. But seriously, what if they just talked about the news is that everyone is saying, did this happen or did this not? Let's talk about it. If they talked about the Hunter Biden stuff, Joe Biden's sexual assault, all this stuff that just got shoved down. But they hide what would be disruptive or what is disruptive to their narrative, to their goals, both short term and long term. And then they push in a big way, at scale, what is helpful to them and their cause. It's sick. Drop the election stuff for a second. I mean, honestly, we need to fix that. That was a huge deal. Might have been the end of this country. So I'm not dismissing that. We talk about it all the time. But drop that for a second. Just the media problem on its own is massive. One that we won't get fixed. We're not going to get that fixed, guys. Sorry. I wish we could, but we're not going to. Hey, Ryan, thanks so much. I appreciate it, man. Guys, we're continuing to do this, the super chat, the super stickers, all of that stuff as YouTube continues to kick us swiftly in the balls. It's about like 20 times an hour. Like just as you're done spitting up blood, they kick you again. So any donation goes a long way and helps us a lot. So we really do appreciate it. If you're on the Facebook page, Rumble, whatever, there's a PayPal link on there. Sharon, we have added it back on there. So it's there in the show description. If you're on YouTube, you can still use that, or you can just use the super stickers, but anything is super helpful. Thank you so much for all you do with that. Another thing that could be helpful before we get to these last two quick stories and then some comments and questions is to check out Red Beach Nation, which is our lifestyle apparel company. Tons of products on there. Go check them out. Whether you live at the beach, are going to one, or just want to imagine yourself there, Red Beach Nation has the perfect patriotic apparel for the occasion. You can go there and check out over 40 products. Use promo code Drew to save 10%. Again, it's redbeachnation.com. Use promo code Drew to save 10%. All right. So a couple things to watch here as we wrap the show. Senator Joe Manchin said that he'll vote against H.R. 1. Or what Democrats have labeled For the People Act. Not for the people. It's not for the people. He said, quote, "I believe that partisan voting legislation will destroy the already weakening binds of our democracy, and for that reason, I will vote against the For the People Act." And this is big, guys. This is big. I'll believe it all when it happens, and he actually says no, and we get all 50 of our people, some of which are really not that conservative, to also say no. But having Manchin is absolutely critical. It's absolutely critical to getting this done. And having future elections and having a country, it's absolutely critical that this thing gets blocked, because it's one of several trigger points that will just throw things over the edge. And we can't count on, usually you can count on Manchin and Sinema, not count on, you can hope that either Manchin and or Sinema will take a little bit more of a rational approach on some issues. When I say some, I mean a small percentage. But both of them, for example, have spoken out about voting against ending the filibuster, which is huge and reasonable. But in this case, Sinema, if I remember correctly, was the co-sponsor of this bill. So she's not going to vote no. She's not going to vote against her own bill. So Manchin is... That I forget who said it. I apologize, but I referenced it once already. He is that guy jumping from the top ropes, Macho Man Randy Savage style, to give a flying elbow to the Democrats and their plan to push this through, if he in fact does vote no. As Sharon and others have pointed out many times, he does go back and forth. He goes back and forth a lot, and you can't trust where he's going to land on stuff. But I'm hoping when it comes to this, I'm hoping that literally, I mean, it shouldn't be this hard. It shouldn't just be coming down to one Democrat who sees how disastrous this bill would be for this country. There's got to be others. I get it. We're divided. We don't like each other. We don't want to give the other side anything that might make them feel like they get a win. But this bill would be absolutely catastrophic for this country. Certainly for people who love the Constitution, conservative values, and all of that, because that team's not winning anymore. That team's not winning anymore. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. We'll see what happens with the filibuster. But it is oh so critical. Oh so critical. Then lastly, just one little nugget to throw in there, and then I'll get to a couple questions. We're running a little bit behind. California. And I promise other states will do this too. You probably saw it. You probably know where I'm going. But they reduced their COVID numbers by 25%, their COVID deaths, that is, by 25%, saying that they weren't a direct result of the virus. No shit. We know. Guys, imagine if everywhere started to do that. It would be just another thing like the leaked theory now and so many other things about Fauci's a douche and he's not actually a, you know, all of that stuff that everyone's been saying for a while that everyone's coming around to saying now. People would say at the beginning, the death numbers that people show on the news, Fox, CNN, MSNBC, whoever it might be, are not accurate. There's no way possible, especially when you've seen reports of doctors being incentivized to do, or hospitals rather, being incentivized to do it. I've seen reports of motorcycle accidents where someone's killed, but it's listed as a COVID thing. Obviously, that's a small and rare example, but you've seen all of this stuff and you know that they were incentivized to do it. So 25%, I mean, in the end, I think that's a low number. It's a low number. I think that the reality is, Lord knows what it is, but it's a hell of a lot more than 25%, and that's across all the states. But they do this. Let's push this narrative, cancel or slam anybody who pushes against it in the meantime, and then later we'll come around and we'll say, here's the actual data. Actual data meaning a still distorted version of the truth, but here's something that's more akin, more centered in its approach. T-Shout, Iraq is a dream life. Yeah, the shirt, you can get it on Red Beach Nation. Live the dream life, Mosul, Iraq. Tell you what, compared to America, it's a little bit more put together than we are. Been to a lot of shitholes in my life. Seen a lot of tribal places. I don't know if there's places as tribal as we are right now. It's pretty disgusting. And at least there, when something goes wrong, you get to kill the other team. So here you still go to jail for that. But you can check it out, folks. There's men and women's cuts over on redbeachnation.com. There's one for Mogadishu, too. So check it out. All right, let's get to a couple comments. Like I said, we're running a little bit behind, so we're not going to get to too many today. But we got all week. We got all week. Russell just mentioned earlier when we were talking about Cam and her cookies, how Democrats are narcissistic. I'd agree. They definitely are. So are celebrities, a lot of stars. So are some GOP officials too, but definitely Democrats are. They're narcissistic. They project everything. It's pretty sad. Pretty sad where we are. Tony said CNN was going crazy trying to figure out what the music means that Trump was playing in North Carolina. They are. And they are going crazy with this reinstatement thing, which I still believe in terms of the news story that's out there. What's happening behind the scenes, I don't know. I don't want to pretend to know everything because I don't. But in terms of the news story that's out there, this came from a New York Times reporter, Faberman or whatever her name is. No one cares. Who suggested it without identifying any sources. When people close to him have said that it's not being talked about and that it's not even possible. So I think that they're spinning this all up. And then he comes out and he's got some of the familiar music playing that he would have at rallies, this, that, and the other. And, oh, what's going on? It's all playing together. See what's happening here? See what's happening? No, stop it. It's, I mean, honestly, even if someone was thinking that, does the country really need to get spun up more? Do you really need to push more division and hatred, media? I don't think so. You know the answer is no, too. You won't do it because you're awful. Awful. Bravo. Having a hard time waiting after seeing that Amazon, the driver. I'm just paraphrasing what you said. The Amazon driver beat a 67-year-old white woman over her white privilege. It is. It's getting hard. It's getting really hard. I think, again, I always say, look, just be patient, be smart. We know where we're going as a country. It's not good. We know there are two sides. Within those sides, there are some factions. But there are lots of signs pointing to some nasty stuff going ahead. But you don't want to be, and I'm not talking to you, and you know I'm not talking to you, Bravo, but like you don't want to be the first one to do this. If someone does that and you see that, and you go kick the shit out of them, find someone else and do it. I mean, that's ridiculous. That person, if you saw that video, it's absolutely reprehensible, disgusting behavior. Disgusting behavior. And if he were to get arrested tomorrow with an arrest warrant, and then shot or killed, unfortunately, in an altercation, which no one ever cheers for, he'd be listed as a martyr, used as a hero, since they all are douchebag criminals, the people that get celebrated with records, particularly against women, violence against women. So it is, all that to say, it's really frustrating. If you see that, stop that shit. Like, that's absolutely. But in terms of the global kind of issue writ large, I think we just got to wait and see how this goes. Wow, can you be any more conceited, Kamala, says Barbara. No, no, she's not. And again, like I said earlier, she's so conceited, she's so into herself that she doesn't realize, and this is often the case with people like this, doesn't realize that no one likes her. Again, her party doesn't like her. Tons of conversation about sniping going on back and forth between her and Biden behind the scenes. Things aren't good and happy there. We knew they weren't going to be. They hated each other before. Why were they all of a sudden going to like each other now? But people like her can never see themselves for who they really are. And they can't see the world for who they are because they're so focused on just themselves. So it wasn't surprising at all to see her pass out cookies of herself or anything like that. All right. We've got to run, guys. A little bit past the time today, but I appreciate lots of conversation. I know there's some feisty conversation that I've seen going on back and forth. Try and keep that in check. But we got four more shows this week. Looking forward to it. Got some announcements coming up again about some of the stuff that I've been telling you about. So looking forward to sharing some of that stuff with you as well, all as we head into the weeks ahead with July 4th coming up and whatnot. So look forward to sharing that with you guys. Thanks so much for being here today. Hope you have a great rest of the day and evening, rest of the week. We'll see you tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, right here on all the platforms, whichever one you're watching, or you can catch the podcast as well. Be safe, be smart, be free.